Here we are for episode 9 of Hungry for Some Leftovers. I'm your host, Dan Callahan, and I'm joined today by Mr. Paul Carson.
Hey, gang.
Paul, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming over here to the lovely Leftover Studio in a basement in South Jersey. So this is lovely. And you're another South Jersey bad boy yourself, which is nice.
SJBBs, baby.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, give everybody an intro about yourself, who you are, and how you've come to be here.
Like Dan said, I'm Paul Carson. I'm a stand-up comedian, and I'm new to Facebook entrepreneurship, but I'm very excited for it.
It's what a lot of people take it very seriously.
I don't have any experience with Facebook, but I do have experience with sketchy sales.
Like, sketchy sales? What kind of sketchy sales are you into?
Like, when I was, like, in middle school and stuff, me and my friends would go door-to-door, like, trying to get people to pay us to rake their yards and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
yep.
You know, like pedophile bait pretty much. Yeah. And then for high school soccer, they had like a fundraiser at the beginning of every year where the whole team had to go and sell cookie dough door to door.
Yeah.
And like
yep.
Freshman year, you can shave and still be kind of cute. By senior year, it's just terrifying for the people who are you're trying to sell cookie dough to.
It just looks like somebody, it's like, yeah, the Girl Scouts have full-blown cookies, but these seniors in high school with partial facial hair just have the dough.
Right. Yeah, they want you to do the work.
You do the work, yeah. And they look like they could be adults. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes you realize why Cutco is so successful. Like, they realized, okay, our workforce is an army of high school boys. We don't have the cuteness factor anymore. Let's capitalize on this fear, baby. Like... Let's arm them with knives, and just people will buy these because they don't want our workforce to have knives anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So we go door to door selling knives.
Like, I mean, their whole business plan is a threat, pretty much.
So you were doing a lot of door to door sales, huh?
Yeah. That's
interesting. Then you just started with wanting to rake leaves door to door, and it just worked its way up to just threatening people with knives.
Pretty much.
Interesting. And maybe you'd be able to graduate, like, you know, you can get free food at drive throughs if you have a loaded handgun. So maybe it'll get to that point. Who knows? It's like, that's like your gateway drug to sales. I heard a lot of people say that. That's where they started with, is that they were doing fundraisers. Everybody had like the growing up, like the booklets of different, like, you know, things that you get, like I forget what it was called, but different food items in a
like
little,
a coupon book or something.
Yeah, like there's coupon books, or you had the books that had like numbers on them, and then you would fill out an order sheet and give it to some kid that's selling it in your thing, and then you get like this, you know, a tin of popcorn or a you know, chocolate covered pretzels or something like that. That's what we would do, selling stuff too, for raising money for who knows what. I have no idea. For all the parents in the PTO to smuggle the money. I have no idea.
Right.
Have you ever done anything on Craigslist? That's also another weird area of the internet.
Never, but I'm probably going to be moving into an apartment in the next coming month, so I imagine I'll be exploring that soon.
Yeah.
Maybe finding some leftovers on there.
Yeah, some leftover humans. people that society said no to, but Craigslist says, come on down.
My first thought, my mind went to, like, body parts and... And then what you said was way sadder and made way more sense.
It does, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's people looking to rent apartments and then also people looking to rent someone's kidney on Craigslist. You get a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done, I always used to do pranks on Craigslist back in the day before you had to pay to make a listing. You had to pay like $5 to list stuff on Craigslist now. Back in the day, you could just say, I have free Justin Bieber tickets, call this number, and then you put your friend's number in there, and then their phone blows up. So they weeded out that being able to happen really now. So unless you got $5 to spare. But it was fun back in the day.
I've seen videos of people like messing with people on Craigslist, and I love how like, when people are looking for something, they'll put like serious inquiries only. Like that is the law, like that people are going to follow
that. Yeah.
That's like a magnet for people looking for pranks, pretty much, I'd have to imagine.
I mean, pranks are very specific women that fit into certain size dresses and shoes. You got to be 5'2", 140 pounds, and a size 8. Serious inquiries only. I'll be in the van behind the Wendy's.
Ooh, getting a call from Svetlana. Yeah.
Now, what would you say as we get into this? Is a podcast. I'm not a food connoisseur by any stretch, but this just turned into something from the get-go about leftover food. So I usually like to ask my guests, and now I'm really, look at me with coffee. Usually I have like a White Claw or a beer or something, but when I have a coffee, like this is turning into a serious talk show. So what would you say is your go-to leftover food item. Like, if you could just eat one food over and over that was, you know, just leftover every day, what would it be?
Pretty much every Saturday I eat chicken primavera and penne vodka that I didn't finish from the night before.
Nice. There you go. Well, then that is a solid one. That's not, you get that from like a go-to spot of yours?
Yeah, there's a place in my town that is called Passeriello's that always delivers that. And I'm a big time spaghetti boy as is. Yeah. Like, I don't know how to cook much, so it's mostly just spaghetti in bulk because I don't know how much one handful makes yet. So it's a lot of, yeah, that's my real official measuring is handfuls. Yeah. It's always too much.
Well, pasta is always something that does good on this show. The rigatoni pasta we've had, I got to do some lasagna, maybe some ziti, some penne. That'd be all great. Those are always very big hits. And, you know, since we're at it, let's introduce our item of the day of what we're doing here. Now, I've always said that it's all leaning into the packaging pretty heavily. And this item is no short of that. No shortage of that. Absolutely. So what kind of item do we got here? If you want
well,
to describe.
We have a basic neurochemistry textbook that fourth edition that I'm not going to tip because it is filled with a delicious meatloaf dinner.
Ooh, yeah.
With a side of green beans and mashed potatoes, and it looks like it's smothered in gravy a little bit.
Yeah.
It's marinated a little bit.
Yeah. It's got some nice gravy on that, and the sides are included. Past episodes, people, anytime I put up a food item, they'll ask if it comes with a side or this type of dipping sauce or this or that. But this has got all the fixins. It's got all of it in there. And it's nice. It's a secret book compartment. I mean, carved out of a textbook, you would never know just by looking at that right there that you could open it up and have a full-blown meal in your neurochemistry class.
Dude, if you told me that this was like a Lunchable from the 1930s, I would believe it instantly.
He's going into a 1930s classroom with that book, just being back in the day and just opening it up and having a field day with that meatloaf.
Yeah, like I could totally see this just like in, I don't know what Einstein, I don't think he did neurochemistry, but yeah. I can see this in his classroom. Just somebody sneaking it in there.
Now, did you, what were your science grades like in school? Were you a science or an English guy?
I was more of an English guy. Like I would be terrible at chemistry and it was a double period. If I had meatloaf, I might have had energy. It was the end of the day, so it was.
Oh, yeah.
This is so strong smelling when you open it up. It's insane. But it still smells good.
Still smells good. Well, that's the family secret recipe.
Right. Which
is kind of, it's a secret book, secret recipe. You know, we're going to have to go down that route. What are you, you're kind of discussing how we're going to list this, what the backstory is.
Right.
What kind of story do you want to lean into with this item?
Well, this particular book belonged to my uncle Ned. He went to prison in 2009, and every month we used to smuggle in leftover secret recipe meatloaf to him. So this was a way to get past the guards. We'd bring this into Uncle Ned, slip it in Shawshank Redemption style. He was like instantly institutionalized. Like he was one of those people who loves order, so prison was his favorite place. Like, he never asked us to smuggle in, like, a chisel to help him break out. It was just, like, monthly meatloaf.
Monthly meatloaf at the old state prison.
Yeah.
So that's what, I mean, he was in for. He never wanted a chisel or a knife. You know, you were selling knives, but not to Uncle Ned in prison.
Right.
You're like, we'll just give you the secret recipe.
Cutco.
Yeah.
Solid callback.
Yeah. So you're just sneaking in meatloaf. Did you ever include sides, or was it just always a full loaf?
Well, this book is awesome because it does include, like, you kind of have to do slices of meatloaf with this book with, like, the depth of the packaging. I'm not going to tip it because I don't want to spill on the carpet, but, like, this is perfect for, like, a TV dinner size, like a slice of meatloaf and then two sides, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. That's a nice TV dinner size, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's pretty good. Did Uncle Ned ever get out of prison, or where is he today?
He did get out, but, like, he loved it so much that he keeps committing crimes to get back in.
He's a lifer. He's a lifer of the state prison system.
He's in a different county now, though, so, like, it's a little further away, so we don't need this book anymore, pretty much.
Yeah, we don't need it. Yeah, we were, he has since left, and he's probably changed his name at this point, so he's no longer with us, we can say. According to, you know, official records, he might not be, but Ned's still on the loose. He might be down in Tijuana, but at this point, we just got the book, and we got to get rid of it. You think it's got, like, some bad, like, omens to it, or we're just trying to pass it on?
I think it's got delicious omens to it.
It's delicious, and hopefully somebody else is going to find it just as delicious as well. That's could be what we really hope to get out of this here.
Right.
Pass it on to the next person that could get use out of smuggling something in it. Could be meatloaf. Mm-hmm. Could be a weapon.
If you run out of room in your fridge and you like have a working knowledge of the Dewey Decimal System, you could conceivably hide an unlimited amount of meat in your local library.
It would never go bad. No one would ever check it out. Just find the books that haven't left the library for two decades and just hide whatever you want from there, because you can't keep it at your house with your bitch wife down your throat, right? Just
yeah.
I think I got a little personal on that one. I'm going to start doing that. I need a library card. If anybody knows where I can join, please let me know. So yeah, let's we got the whole story written up here. Here's what we're going to go with for listing this. Obviously, we're going to call it Meatloaf with Sides Hidden in a Book. My uncle went to prison in 2009, and we used this neurochemistry textbook to sneak in delicious meatloaf for him every month. The meatloaf is a secret family recipe that has been stored accordingly for generations. Uncle Ned passed, as we're going to call it. We found the book after cleaning out his house, and now we want to pass it on, along with the secret meatloaf, to someone that will find it all very useful. The item's free, PM, and we'll deliver. Mm-hmm. So that's also the catch here, is that if somebody actually wants this, we're going to have to go deliver it to them. So
I'm excited for that.
I hope you brought a ski mask and a bulletproof vest, because I don't know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen with people on Facebook Marketplace.
We'll keep a shiv in here.
Yeah,
we'll do what Uncle Ned never did. The coward.
Side question, have you ever met or known a good person that has owned a Dodge Charger?
Not once. No. Not once. I think it's the universal dirtbag car.
I don't even know most of the time what the difference is between a Dodge Charger, Dodge Challenger, the Dodge Avenger. I know that's like the bottom tier, but like there's some really expensive versions of a Dodge Charger. There's like the Hellcat things out there, which are crazy. But like usually if you see a Dodge Charger, like one of the 2015 ones, it's not really done up. It's just factory. It's not, no customizations to it or whatever. That's the person that's going to be cutting you off and flipping you off.
Mm-hmm. 2015, I feel like, is a sweet spot, because it's not the person buying the brand new one each year, but like it's somebody who's still trying to be the newer thing.
Yeah, they're getting they absolutely got the 2015 at the buy here, pay here, used car lot. It's got 110,000 miles on it, but it had 110,000 miles on it when they got it in 2018.
Zero oil changes.
Yeah, never had an oil change. There's the smoke coming out of the back muffler that they got it at an AutoZone and they attached.
The flames look sick, dude.
Oh my god, that reminds me. Did you see the video I posted a couple weeks ago? Photo I posted a couple weeks ago of the Ford Taurus that I had back in the day.
No, what was that one?
I had inherited. My sister and I used to share my grandmom's old car after she passed away. Mm-hmm. It was a 1999 Ford Taurus. You know, the Ford Taurus before it like started looking like a cop car. Like it had like the circle and oval headlights on it and everything. Me and my buddies attached custom blue lights to it, as well as racing stripes from front to back on this green Ford Taurus. I'll show up a picture of it here. I got pulled over so many times in that car. I was like, oh, it's because it added a couple extra horsepower when I added the racing stripes to it. I would get pulled over because apparently the blue lights that were on it were illegal, because they're only for emergency vehicles or something like that. Some poor shit. Yeah. Some fucking government bureaucratic nonsense. I got out of every ticket, though. I got pulled over 3 times in that thing. Never got an actual ticket.
I have like I have a government job, and I have like a government ID that I guess looks very similar to the ones soldiers have also. Yeah. Like it's called a CAC card. And I got pulled over once coming back from like an open mic or something. And I didn't steal Valor. I'm going to say that right now. I didn't steal Valor, but the dude, I had it like right in the front of my wallet. So when I was getting my license and registration, it probably looked on purpose like, oops, I'll just pull this out from under my military ID or whatever. And he was like, all right, well, I'm going to let you off with a warning. What branch are you in, by the way? And I was like, government employee, and then just got away with it. And you could tell he was disappointed, though. Like he would have given me a ticket if he...
Yeah.
Had known.
Yeah. He was expecting you to be like a guy that was on the front line, SEAL Team 6 or something.
Yeah,
like,
I'm in a cubicle.
You're in a cubicle. You weren't exactly over in, putting Bin Laden out of his misery. No. Well, that's great. Well, you know what? The story with that book that you got there. I go into a Goodwill. I originally, for this episode, all full disclosure, wanted to do a VHS tape and fill a clamshell with stuff. Couldn't find one of those at Goodwill. I was shocked. So right next to the VHS section, they had textbooks, coffee table books, as they called them. I saw this one for 50 cents and it was thick. And I was like, oh, instead of like a VHS clamshell, I could hollow this out and hide something in it, like a book compartment type of thing. So I got it. And the woman at the register is flipping through the book as I go up there with a copy. I got a VHS while I was there, a copy of Sweatin' to the Oldies, Volume 2 by Richard Simmons. I got that along with this book. And she's flipping through it, and she's just like, oh, this is a really interesting find you got here. She's like, this is, I said, it's a little bit of light reading. And she's like, light reading? I think it's more than that. I was like, it's going to be a coffee table book. She's like, oh, well, are you studying to become a neurologist? I was like, I already am one. And I said it sarcastically, very, you know, it was covered in sarcasm. Mm-hmm. She didn't pick up on it whatsoever. I don't know if it was just because she was working there, because it was court ordered or what. But I mean, she was all about having a conversation. And she's like, oh, if you're a neurologist, she's like, actually, I have a question then for you. My insurance just changed. So my neurologist I go to is not in network anymore. It's now out of network. So I'm looking for a referral to go to a new one. So now here I am standing there sarcastically saying that I'm a neurologist. And now, as I'm supposed to do, I got to stay in the character.
Right. You got to stick with it at that point.
At that point, I'm in deep.
Rude to get out of it at that point.
Yeah, because then you seem like an asshole. Then she would have been like, oh, you were going to mess with me? I have neurological problems. Is that something to be funny about? So
I can tell, lady.
Yeah, the fact that the lady thought that a neurologist was in a Goodwill getting a copy of a VHS of Sweatin' to the Oldies along with a neurology, neurochemistry book. I don't even know if neurology and neurochemistry are in the same family of science. I have no idea. It's a basics book, and I clearly didn't read it. So she, I was like, no, I'm not from the area. I can't like make referrals. That would be against my best judgment to places down here that I'm not familiar with. And then lady behind her was then saying she was having neck problems and was wondering if she should see a nurse. It turned into a whole conversation about stuff. And I'm like, can I just get my Sweatin' to the Oldies and neurochemistry book and just see my way out of here so I can go home and fill it with meatloaf?
Like,
what are they?
Like a good neuroscientist.
Yeah, and that's the problem. It's like, you guys think a neuroscientist is in this Goodwill, came here for this textbook. How would I have ever known that I was getting this, that this textbook would be here if I was in that field? Like, that is so insane. But I guess, you know, they're working at Goodwill. I have no idea why they're working at Goodwill. But Goodwill is a place that you can really be who you want to be.
That sounds like the type of lady where if you walked in 5 minutes later with a fake mustache, you could have told her you were like a rocket scientist or something. She would have been like, oh, I can see by your rocket science and Sweatin' with the Oldies 3.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking with the fourth edition. I wanted to ask her too. I felt like I was going to be rude, but I was like, you know, I didn't read copies, you know, 1 through 3. But what am I going to understand the fourth? So, I have no idea. But, you know, I bought a World's Greatest Pop-Pop shirt there, so I wear that around. People are going to be like, oh, are you a grandfather? You know, here's your senior discount. I don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But you can get anything in there. I mean, who knows where those clothes have come from? Estate sales from someone who died, you know, people that, I have no idea, fled the area, like Uncle Ned. I'm sure a lot of Uncle Ned's textbooks and other items are in that Goodwill as well. So
I saw a couple of, like, rock climbing documentaries on, like, Netflix or whatever. One of them was, like, about the guy who free soloed El Capitan or whatever.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
All of the other ones, like, I've watched, like, 2 or 3, they all end with death. Like, it's like, okay, and of course he died. Like, at the end, then the whole community is like, we never saw it coming, but, like, he went too high and he burned too bright. And they're all dead 26-year-olds, and you're like, oh, who could have guessed? Like, fuck you. Like, I wasted an hour and a half to...
Yeah, just to get to that point.
I'm mad at rock climbers, dude. It's a weird beef, but...
The rock climb, because those things are popping up left and right. Rock climbing gyms.
Yeah.
Are now a really big thing. It's like a hobby for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I used to do it like my freshman year of high school and just got like weirdly veiny forearms on my otherwise unstrong high school freshman body.
So that made it really difficult when you're selling things door to door. It's just like, who is this guy that looks like he spent a little too much time by himself in front of a computer screen when his parents weren't home? Or looks like he takes 45-minute long showers, you know? Like one of those things. It's just...
Why are his fingers so taped? Is that related?
Yeah. Man, that's great. With the rock climbing, like...
That dude is what we call a friction jerker.
Here's a good question from Vinny. How would you do it every month? I'm not sure he'd be able to mail it back. Different book each month?
Shut up. We have visitation. Vinny Giordano. Was he on the Jersey Shore? Or that's Guardiola? Or...
It's all the same to me. Vinny, were you on the Jersey Shore? That would be great if we had a Jersey Shore cast member that meets up. Because you know those people are at the point where they're buying things on Facebook Marketplace. Mm-hmm. Actually, didn't they just have a Jersey Shore, another show?
They keep having reunions in different places, and it's the same people, slightly older. Like, they're all sober now, and it's like, oh, it's...
Jesus.
It's just older Snooki.
She just keeps getting older and leatherier.
She's starting to look like this delicious meatloaf.
Why won't they ever... The only reunion I have with old friends is at someone's funeral, and why won't that happen to the Jersey Shore cast members?
Could have a death pool for Jersey Shore.
Yeah, if anyone wants to start a death pool Jersey Shore, I would have... They all got sober now, though, so that's a lot tougher, because usually in the height of that show, you could tell who was, you know, really...
I think Ronnie's still kind of like a loose cannon.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's... Yeah, I don't want to... put that on him and guess that he's gonna die first, but like the others are starting to be parents and stuff.
Grant chimed in on Vinny's post too. Tell me you haven't been to prison without telling me you've never been to prison. So Grant wants a drink with it
and they check everything. No way they got this to him.
Seriously. I see, this is where this guy is asking in a joking way of how would you get this back and forth. Grant has clearly been to prison before, and Barbara clearly is saying there's no way this got through. They checked everything.
No, it was before they started doing that.
It's before they started doing that, Barbara. Oh, wait, no, Vinny says, I definitely have and was cavity searched after every visitation. No offense, but it looks very dry.
It's as sloppy as it comes. Jennifer Lee.
I was thinking it's too much binder.
Shut up, you paperback bitch.
You paperback liberal. Don't you dare. I don't know why, but that's like the funniest thing to tell. Like, you just call somebody a liberal and they're like, it's either somebody, they don't know what to do with it, or somebody gets really fucking offended.
I'm a hardcover conservative. Yeah, how dare you?
We have nothing but hardcovers in this house. Honestly, I fucks with that. I get you. You're a good man. This is the nicest thing anyone with the name of Price LaCroix has ever said to me.
I fucks with that. Hey, whatever you do with the meatloaf is your own business.
Yeah. Hardbacks are better. At least you know when you break the back.
What are you doing to your books? Like,
yeah, well, that's what I'm like. Don't be a paperback baby. But he's like, yeah, but the hardbacks are better because you know when you break the back.
Are your books paralyzed?
Oh, so Olga is giving us some insight into how the prison system works. She says that our family member can only receive books from Amazon, other, no personal items from family friends.
Huh, well, when we tried to fit this in a Kindle, it broke it. Go, Mary.
Thank you, Mary. I know Mary, too. She's one of my friends. Mary, why are you in the Mount Laurel Marlton Medford Yard Sale Group? You live in Burlington City. Got to class it up a little bit and join the yard sale group of much higher income towns, huh, Mary? Is that what's going on?
If there's one thing we don't stand for on Hungry for Some Leftovers, it's fraud, Mary.
It's fraud. Don't you dare identify as a Marltonian, all right? Interested. Love meatloaf. Coming from a woman named Joanne. Who else would it be? I mean, we said this on a prior episode. Jim Gillespie said, and Ann Christine or John Prophet might have said it. It was on the same episode with both those knuckleheads. They said, Christine is only the name of an aunt. You don't have a cousin Christine or your mother's Christine. It's a Aunt Christine. And
right.
Joanne is definitely like a mother's name that makes a good fucking meatloaf.
I feel like we would have done just as well, if not better, if we just found a Facebook group of Joannes to advertise this on.
Yeah, if there was a group of just nothing but Joanne, it would be like 9 out of 10 of them would be super nice and loving, and then there's the one that's like a fucking this nasty witch.
I'll use it for my stint.
All right, sorry about that. All right, you there, Joanne?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, great. All right, so does that meetup location work for you and everything? We can come over there.
Yeah, that would be great. I drive a orange Hyundai Accent, and that's a pretty busy Wawa, so I'll be parked like like not close to the store, but like closer to the street where you'll see me.
Okay.
Look, it's snowing.
Oh, it's snowing out?
It's snowing a little bit.
Oh, man. Well, that's gonna perfect. No one loves a snowy day for meatloaf more than I do.
I know. It's awesome. Okay. I'll see you in a little bit.
Now. All right. Yep. I'll see you there in a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Bye. So we are meeting up with Joanne at the Wawa in Glassboro.
I love Joanne.
Joanne sounds like a genuinely... She's like, oh, it's snowing. She's a genuinely nice woman. Mm. Patricia, sorry, but you're not getting it.
They lost out. You snooze, you lose on this loaf.
Yeah, you snooze, you lose on the loaf. That's all you could do to it. So now we're going to... What do you expect is going to happen here with Joanne as we make our way down to Delsey?
I expect like a fully earnest interaction.
She's going to be a very just, you know, nice loving woman looking for a little loaf. And yeah. Let me just...
We're all looking for loaf.
We're all just looking for a little loaf in our lives. She did say... interested, love meatloaf. That's awesome. I live in Glassboro. When can you deliver? All right, so we don't have anything but just this. It's as it is. There's no secret recipe they were asking for. There's none. It's just the loaf with the meatloaf sides.
Coming with a good, honest loaf in a book. That's all it is, and that's all it has to be.
That's all it has to be, and that's just what you see is what you get. Nothing more, nothing less.
Eventually.
Yeah, Paul will eat some of the... Joanne, Paul, we're getting...
Now
yeah.
The proud owner of the neurochemistry
book. Oh, here, I think this guy's backing up. Oh, okay. Over here, but yeah.
He doesn't understand
he
us.
He doesn't understand how important this is.
So you're gonna taste test the meatloaf so you can show it's genuine meatloaf. Uh-huh. Get right ahead. I'll take some.
And what is it, like red potatoes with the skins on it?
Yeah, yeah, chunky God, mashed potatoes. With the.
You might want to reheat it, but I'll take this one.
Yeah, you can heat it up.
I eat meatloaf cold. Yeah. You know what? It looks like it's the good kind. You know how sometimes it's like really like dense? Like I like it a little bit looser.
Yeah, yeah.
And like some of it has brown gravy.
It's got a little bit of it, but it's not it's grounded. It's a slice. It's just a slice of it.
I love meatloaf.
Pretty good.
It's good. Get a green bean there.
I'll get a little bit of everything.
Get a little bit of everything.
Who made it?
That's our family's recipe. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So my mother made it. Who's a sister's from Uncle Ned.
I started out with the one with the, like oatmeal, like.
Done. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
On the oatmeal box.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, we grew up on this. It's really this is like one slice of it. It's kind of like one portion meal that this is all.
And you know what? I never knew that you could make, like, I always thought you had to have the pan.
Yeah.
I never knew that you didn't have to have the pan. You should just mold it. I didn't know that. I thought it would, like, I don't know, like, flatten out or something, like a big cookie.
We had to, because that's the only way it fits in this book, too.
We had this compartment of it and everything, and it's like, it fits perfectly in there. That's what we've been using it for. So.
I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, it's one of the things.
I don't know. Anyone trying to explain to my boyfriend, he'd be like, he's like not understanding anything.
We always get anything of Uncle Ned's and we put it on Facebook and deliver it. That's why we get videos of each thing.
I see my daughter is 29. I was going there way before her.
You guys both go to Rowan?
Well, I went there.
Oh,
She just moved out to Oregon.
Oh, okay.
Could she possibly get any further away from me?
Literally, as far as the other coast. And it started snowing too.
Yeah.
On the way here, we saw flurries.
Wow,
that's amazing.
Yeah, she moved out there for her job.
Oh, okay.
Well, sure, she did. She was working for Toyota and Senator School for Lexus. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. We're driving and I'm like, oh my God, I hope this thing, and I was bitching. So we had to like, my friend, who was an older car, her name was Wally, and he disconnected the odometer so the mileage would be good.
Heart smarter than heart.
Yeah.
Right. And we're driving and it started to snow a little bit. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if this is a good idea. And I've been inside Grand Canyon National Park. I'm like, I don't see anything. Carbon State Park, you know.
I mentioned that. Like, when I was only at the Grand Canyon once, like, years ago, and it's in Arizona, and it started snowing like crazy.
Yeah.
And you'd think Arizona's, like, hot.
Yeah,
desert.
it was just normal, in park. And we pull over to this pass, and I'm like, fuck this, I can't be here. I jumped out of the car, still running right over the side, and I went, I'm like, okay, Kevin, it's worth it. I felt humble and everything. I'm like, oh my God, it's like another world. Uh-huh. You know, it was like normal, and then all of a sudden this.
Yeah.
This thing just pulls, and it's a round parachute, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, probably like 6,000 feet, and, you know, and it felt like I was being dropped behind enemy lines. You know?
Yeah.
And there's a picture of me like, wearing this jumpsuit that they gave you, and that smelled like a hoagie because Robbie hadn't been washed all summer. And I'm like this, and they jammed you in the little airplane with, like, the thing was rattling and bolts right. coming out. And I'm like, oh my God, this thing's gonna fall apart.
Probably some rinky dink old thing.
Right. Yeah. And so when we went up to California, like, let's go skydiving. And so I was trying to find, like, that's when tandem things. Well, that they just started doing that, and I'm like, I don't want to do a tandem. I want to do a static line thing. Tandem's for pussies.
I've already experienced the real thing.
Right. And this, and the girl, this one girl said, no, if you want to experience it, you want to do it. I go, tandem's better? And she goes, yeah. So we get to the place, and I figure it's going to be like before, like, you have to all day, you know. We get there, sign some papers, watch them. I don't even know if we watched the film. The next thing, now we're in the plane. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I thought we had hours to go. I wasn't really paying attention. Wait a minute. What were we supposed to do? I wasn't really prepared to have some guy strapped right to my back and stick in my ass, you know. You know, I mean, that's how, I mean, and trying to, like, be in a plane, and then, like, they tighten you up, and it's like this, trying to walk with somebody, you know, it's really, really difficult, you know, and I was just freaked out. I'm like, I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to be doing, who's this guy? But then I was all right with it after I thought about it for a while. Then I got crazy, when I got some insurance money, and Cross Keys is over here, and I was like a junkie. I'm like, I started going, I was going, I'll get my license. I'll get certified and I'll get my license, and I won't have to pay $200 every time. And I just have to pay your. And I was going over there, you have to do like a certain, these steps, and it has to be with a certain amount of time. It was getting expensive, you know. So I decided that I wasn't gonna do that, but, and plus, I'm running out of money, and they didn't want to take a TV or anything like that.
The onions too, you have onions for us? Get that on video. See, you grow the onions?
No, I got them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, somebody had a bunch of onions in
there. All right.
In my car.
Oh,
jeez. Tough guy car.
Look at that, the tough guy right there. That's
stitches.
Nice. Stitches. Yeah. Oh, well, this is a nice exchange. And look, with the loaf in there.
Really nice meeting
you.
Very nice.
And we just got back from beautiful Glassboro, New Jersey with our new best friend, Joanne. I mean, what a lady.
She was so nice.
Couldn't have been nicer. A lot of people always think you're meeting like some strange character, some wild people or murderers on Facebook Marketplace, but Joanne seems like a very well-seasoned vet on Facebook Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Given that we have a bag of onions now, that
we got a good trade.
This is the first time in the history of this podcast that I've traded up. I would say, was this trading up, you would say, for the amount of onions
there's
that we got?
A bunch of onions here. You can have, and they're starting to blossom, so you could
grow
your own.
That is nice. That is nice. These are straight out of a garden or something, too. These are pretty, so we got full-blown onions.
We got onions.
All right, so we're getting so much traction, even after we've delivered it to Joanne. We're going to try and do a 2-for-1 and get somebody else who's interested these onions. They said they want the damn meatloaf in a book right now. So I gave him my phone number.
Let's see
if they're calling in.
Let's see if they're settling for onions in a bag. It's a bit of a step down. This is the gift that keeps on giving. I love this. Facebook Marketplace. If you're not on there already, get on there. My pants are going to smell like onions after holding this because these, like, they're sticking. The smell is sticking.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
What's this deal we got going on here?
Is this Colby?
Oh, yes, it is.
Colby, so this is Dan. My brother Paul, who's also Uncle Ned's nephew, is here with me.
Hi,
so,
Colby. You're on speaker.
So we got rid of the loaf in the book. A woman named Joanne.
Hello?
Hello, you there?
Hi. Yeah, we're here.
Okay, so Joanne in Glassboro took the loaf and the book, however, she gave us in exchange a bag full of onions that she got from somebody else on Facebook Marketplace, and now we have a bag full of homegrown onions on us.
Are you sure they're homegrown?
They are. They are homegrown 100%, pulled out of the dirt today that she got from somebody, and then she gave to us in exchange for the book of the loaf.
Are they like, what was anything done to the onions?
No, there wasn't, because we sat there with her and we ate an onion, and then we also taste tested the meatloaf in front of her because she wanted to make sure that wasn't poisoned. So we ate an onion.
What do you think about this?
Are you with Jace?
Jake's in this call.
Oh, okay. Well, now we're.
I don't know why he's not talking.
Oh, well, now we're cooking. We got everybody on here. The meeting of the minds of the Facebook Marketplace.
Oh my gosh, small world. This is awesome. Jace, how's it going?
I don't know why he's not talking.
Jeez, there's maybe the onion trade possibility has just left him speechless.
He might still be bummed about the loaf.
I think he still is bummed about the loaf. There was no, like, are you sure there was no, like, onions and mess or nothing like that?
No, not at all.
See, then I don't know about this deal.
The onions are, definitely aren't comparable to a loaf. However, I have had some meatloaf in the past that have had onions baked into it, and it was some of the best meatloaf I've ever had. So if you get your hands on another loaf, you got more than enough onions to make it a tasty treat.
All right, well, let me give you a call back in like 20 minutes. I'm out for dinner right now, but they don't have meatloaf, but I'll think about your trade.
If you want the trade, we will drive to you somewhere and give you the bag of onions and just split an onion in a parking lot somewhere. And we'll call Joanne from there.
All right, well, let me give you a shout in about 20 minutes then.
All right, yeah. Give us a call back, and then we'll see if we can finalize this onion barter.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. We'll see you guys.
See ya.
I almost wanted to three-way in Joanne and have her tell him that she did not get the loaf and she could talk shit to them. Well, we gave Colby and Jace, or Jake, we don't even really know at this point. We gave them more than enough time to get back to us about the onions, and I left them a pretty threatening message. Yeah. That if they didn't come get the onions were going to get it.
We didn't threaten anybody, just onions.
Just onions, no actual just the onions themselves. And we'll have to see if he ever gets back. If he does, I'll include something here.
Yo, this is Jace calling about the fucking loaf. I need the fucking loaf right now.
I think we'll officially close it out here, though. Any final thoughts from you, Paul, on this whole situation as it's unfolded after the fact? Because it's never happened before.
This was incredible. I enjoyed every second of it. Joanne was an absolute sweetheart, and we got onions.
Yeah, we got onions from her, and she might be a new drinking buddy of ours, to be honest. If you're ever in Glassboro, be on the lookout for Joanne. Because she's around at some of the old bars there, it seems like, and she might have an appetite for meatloaf. She was definitely hungry for our leftovers. So,
Colby and Jake, this is the last you're ever going to see of these onions. Yeah. They're getting thrown at cars.
We're going outside right now to pelt those onions at cars driving by.
There will be tears.
There will be tears. You heard it here first. There will be tears. Down here in South Jersey. So thanks again for coming out and being on the pod. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next time.